This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. March, as you know, is Women's History Month, and so this evening we are going to focus on five American women poets reading their own work. We're going to hear Gertrude Stein, H.D., Edna St. Vincent Millay, Louise Bogen, and Muriel Rukeyser. These are iconic poets. I will have very little interruption between them, just enough to let you know who you're listening to, so you can sit back and experience these historic recordings of our poetic ancestors. Each of them offered something brand new when they burst upon the scene, and now, decades later, their work maintains its relevance. So have a listen to these poems, maybe as you would listen to music. How do they speak to you now in 2017? The first four poems are by Gertrude Stein, read by Gertrude Stein.
A Valentine to Sherwood Anderson. I knew, too, that threw them. I knew, too, that he was through. I knew, too, that he threw them. I knew, too, that they were through. I knew, too, I knew, too, I knew them. I knew, too, them. If they tear a hunter through, if they tear through a hunter, if they tear through a hunt and a hunter, if they tear through the different sizes of the six, the different sizes of the six which are these: a woman with a white package under one arm and a black package under the other arm, and dressed in brown with a white blouse; the second, St. Joseph; the third, a hunter in a blue coat and black goggles and a plaid cap; a fourth, a knife grinder who is full faced, and a very little woman with black hair and a yellow hat, and an excellently smiling, appropriate soldier. All these as you please. In the meantime, examples of the same lily. In this way, please, have you run. What do I see? A very little snail, a medium-sized turkey, a small band of sheep, a fair orange tree. All nice wives are like that. Listen to them from here. Oh, you did not have an answer? Here? Yes. A very Valentine. Very fine is my Valentine, very fine and very mine. Very mine is my Valentine, very mine and very fine. Very fine is my Valentine and mine. Very fine, very mine and mine is my Valentine. We were able to notice that each one in a way carried a bundle. They were not trouble to them, nor were they all bundles, as some of them were chickens, some of them pheasants, some of them sheep, and some of them bundles. They were not a trouble to them, and then indeed we learned that it was the principal recreation. And they were so arranged that they were not given away, and today they were given away. I will not look at them again. They will not look for them again. They have not seen them here again. They are in there, and we hear them again. In which way are stars brighter than they are? When we have come to this decision, we mention many thousands of birds, and when I close my eyes, I see them. If you hear her snore, it is not before you love her. You love her so that to be her beau is very lovely. She is sweetly there, and her curly hair is very lovely. She is sweetly here, and I am very near, and that is very lovely. She is my tenderest feet, and her little feet are stretched out well, which is a treat, and very lovely. Her little tender nose is between her little eyes, which close, and are very lovely. She is very lovely, and mine, which is very lovely, on her way. If you can see why she feels that she kneels, if you can see why he knows that he shows what he bestows, if you can see why they share what they share, need we question that there is no doubt that by this time, if they had intended to come, they would have sent some notice of such intention. He and they, and indeed the decision itself, is not early dissatisfaction. Let us describe. Let us describe how they went. It was a very windy night, and the road, although in excellent condition and extremely well graded, has many turnings. And although the curves are not sharp, the rise is considerable. It was a very windy night, and some of the larger vehicles found it more prudent not to venture. In consequence, some of those who had planned to go were unable to do so. Many others did go, and there was a sacrifice. Of what shall we? A sheep, a hen, a cock, a village, a ruin, and all that. And then, that having been blessed, let us bless it.
Now, this other is just a short piece of the portrait of Christian Bera, a painter. Eating is her subject. While eating is her subject. Where eating is her subject. withdraw whether it is eating which is her subject. Literally, while she ate, eating is her subject. Afterwards, too, and in between. This is an introduction to what she ate. She ate a pigeon and a souffle. That was on one day. She ate a thin ham and its sauce. That was on another day. She ate dessert. That had been on one day. She had fish, grouse, and little cakes. That was before that day. She had breaded veal and grapes. That was on that day. After that, she ate every day. Very little, but very good. She ate very well that day. What is the difference between steaming and roasting? She ate it cold because of Saturday. If I told him a completed portrait of Picasso, if I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Would he like it? Would Napoleon? Would Napoleon? Would he like it? If Napoleon, if I told him, if I told him, if Napoleon, would he like it if I told him, if I told him, if Napoleon? Would he like it if Napoleon, if I told him? If I told him, if Napoleon, if Napoleon, if I told him? If I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Now, not now, and now. Now, exactly as king. Feeling full for it. Exactitude as king. So to beseech you as full as for it. Exactly or as king. Shutters shut and open, so do queen. Shutters shut and shutters, and so shutters shut and shutters, and so shutters, and so shutters shut, and so shutters shut, and shutters and so. And so shutters shut, and so, and also, and also, and so, and so, and also. Exact resemblance to exact resemblance, the exact resemblance, as exact as a resemblance. Exactly as resembling, exactly in resemblance, exactly a resemblance, exactly and resemblance. For this is so because. Now actively repeat it all, now actively repeat it all, now actively repeat it all. Have, hold, and hear, actively repeat it all. I judge, as a resemblance to him. Who comes first? Napoleon the first. Who comes to, coming to? Who goes there? As they go, they share. Who shares all? All is as all, as yet, or as yet. Now to date, now and date and the date. Who came first? Napoleon the first. Who came first? Napoleon the first. Who came first? Napoleon first. Presently. Exactly do they do, first exactly. Exactly do they do, too, first exactly, and first exactly. Exactly do they do, and first exactly, and exactly. And do they do, at first exactly, and do they do, the first exactly. And do they do, the first exactly, at first exactly, first as exactly, at first as exactly, presently, as presently. He, and he, and he, and he, and as he, and as he, and he. He is, and as he is, and he is. He is, and as he, and he, and as he is, and he. And he, and he, and he. Can pearls rob, can pearls quote quotable? As presently, as exactitude, as trained, as trained, as trained, as trained. As trains presently, proportions presently, as proportions as presently, father and father, was the king or room, father and whether, was there, whether and in there, as even say so, one I land, two I land, three the land, three the land, three the land, two I land, one I land, two I land, as a so, they cannot, a note, they cannot afloat, they cannot, they dote, they cannot, they as denote, miracles play fairly well, a well, as as presently. Let me recite what history teaches. Matisse. One was quite certain, the prolonged part of his being one being living, he had been trying to be certain that he was wrong in doing what he was doing. And then, when he could not come to be certain that he had been wrong in doing what he had been doing, when he had completely convinced himself that he would not come to be certain that he had been wrong in doing what he had been doing, he was really certain then that he was a great one, and he certainly was a great one. Certainly, everyone could be certain of this thing, that this one is a great one. This one was one very many were knowing some, and very many were glad to meet him. Very many sometimes listened to him. Some listened to him very often.
There were some who listened to him, and he talked to them, and he told them then that certainly he had been one suffering, and he was then being one trying to be certain that he was wrong in doing what he was doing, and he had come then to be certain that he never would be certain that he was doing what was wrong for him to be doing then. And he was suffering then, and he was certain that he would be one doing what he was doing, and he was certain that he should be one doing what he was doing, and he was certain that he would always be one suffering. And this then made him certain, this, that he would always be one being suffering, this made him certain that he was expressing something being struggling. And certainly very many were quite certain that he was greatly expressing something being struggling. This one was knowing some who were listening to him, and he was telling very often about being one suffering. And this was not a dreary thing to anyone hearing that then. It was not a saddening thing to anyone hearing it again and again. To some, it was quite an interesting thing hearing it again and again. To some, it was an exciting thing hearing it again and again. Some knowing this one and being certain that this one was a great man and was one clearly expressing something, were ones hearing this one telling about being one being living. Were hearing this one telling this thing again and again. Some who were ones knowing this one and were ones certain that this one was one who was clearly telling something, was a great man, were not listening very often to this one telling again and again about being one being living. Certainly some who were certain that this one was a great man, and one clearly expressing something, and greatly expressing something being struggling, were listening to this one telling about being living, telling about this again and again and again. Certainly very many knowing this one, and being certain that this one was a great man, and that this one was clearly telling something, were not listening to this one telling about being living. Were not listening to this one telling this again and again.
The next two selections are by the great H.D.
Helen is, of course, that Helen of Sparta, Helen of Troy, Helena, hated of Greece. In a dream or trance, she left Troy. She finds herself in Egypt. How? Why? She does not know until the image of a lost and shipwrecked Achilles appears. Few were the words we said, nor knew each other, nor asked, are you spirit? Are you sister? Are you brother? Are you alive? Are you dead? The harpers will sing forever of how Achilles met Helen among the shades. But we were not. We are not shadows. As we walk heel and sole, leave our sandal prints in the sand. Though the wounded heel treads lightly, and more lightly follow the purple sandal. The old enchantment holds. Here there is peace for Helena, Helen hated of all Greece. How did we know each other? Was it the sea enchantment in his eyes of Thetis, his sea mother? What was the token given? I was alone, bereft and wore no zone, no crown, and he was shipwrecked, drifting without chart, famished and tempest-driven. The fury of the tempest in his eyes, the bane of battle and the legions lost. For what was victory and Troy gates broken? To memory of Patroclus, wounded, stricken, the insult of the charioteer, the chariot furiously driven, the Furies daunt. Take heart, Achilles, for you may not die, immortal and invincible. Though the Achilles' heel treads lightly, still I feel the tightening muscles, the taut sinews quiver, as if I, Helen, had withdrawn from the bruised and swollen flesh, the arrow from its wound. In the sanctuary of the great Amen temple, Helen recalls her first meeting with Achilles and her invocation or prayer to his mother, Thetis, the sea goddess, a Greek incarnation of the Egyptian Isis. How did we greet each other here in this Amun temple? I have all time to remember. He comes, he goes. I do not know what memory calls him or what spirit master summons him to release, as God released him, the imprisoned, the lost. Few were the words we said, but the words are graven on stone, minted on gold, stamped upon lead. They are coins of a treasure, or the graded weights of barter and measure. I am a woman of pleasure, I spoke ironically into the night, for he had built me a fire, he Achilles, piling driftwood, finding an old flint in his pouch. I thought I had lost that. Few were the words we said. I am shipwrecked, I am lost, turning to view the stars swaying as before the mast. The seasons different, we're far from. Let him forget. Amen, all Father, let him forget. We huddled over the fire, was there ever such a brazier? A night bird hooted past. He started, a curious flight, a carrion creature, what? Dear God, let him forget. I said, there's mystery in this place. I am instructed. I know the script. The shape of this bird is a letter. They call it the hieroglyph. Strive not. It is delicate to the goddess here. She is Isis. Isis, he said. Or Thetis, I said. Remembering, recalling, invoking his sea mother. Flame, I prayed, flame, forget, forgive and forget the other. Let my heart be filled with peace. Let me love him as Thetis, his mother. For I knew him. I saw in his eyes the sea enchantment. But he knew not yet Helen of Sparta, knew not Helen of Troy. Knew not Helena hated the priest. Then Helen tries to disguise herself, to hide from Achilles, but she does not succeed. He recognizes her. How could I hide my eyes? How could I veil my face? With ash or charcoal from the embers? I drew out a blackened stick, but he snatched it, he flung it back. What sort of enchantment is this? What art will you yield with a faggot? Are you Hecate? Are you a witch? A vulture? A hieroglyph? The sign or the name of a goddess? What sort of goddess is this? Where are we? Who are you? Where is this desolate coast? Who am I? Am I a ghost? You are living, O child of Thetis, as you never lived before. Then he caught at my wrist, Helen, accursed of Greece. I have seen you upon the ramparts. No art is beneath your power. You stole the chosen, the flower of all time, of all history, my children, my legions. For you were the ships burnt. O cursed, O envious Isis, you, a vulture, a hieroglyph. Zeus be my witness, I said. It was he, Amen, dreamed of all this phantasmagoria of Troy. It was dream and a fantasy. O Thetis, O sea mother, I prayed as he clutched my throat with his fingers, remorseless steel. Let me go out, let me forget, let me be lost. Oh, Thetis, oh, sea mother, I prayed under his cloak. Let me remember forever this star in the night. Helena has spoken of the unreality of war, this phantasmagoria of Troy, as she calls it. But through her contact with Achilles, she finds reality. Achilles himself and the host of spirits who rescue her from him and in the end reconcile her to him. Much has happened in timeless time here in the Amen Temple, but he had not questioned me. He had never spoken of beauty. The rasp of a severed wheel seemed to ring in the dark. The spark of a sword on a shield, the whir of an arrow, the crack of a broken lance, then laughter mingled with fury as host encountered host. But that had never been. How long did he hesitate in time or in timeless time, while his fingers tightened their grip? Why did he let me go? Did he hear the whir of wings? Did he feel the invisible host surrounding and helping me? Was he afraid of the dead?
Okay, you've heard Gertrude Stein, and that was HD. We're going to move on now to Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Now I'm going to read some poems from the Satan Interview. The first one is Sonnet 11. Not in a silver casket cool with pearls, or rich with red corundum, or with blue, locked, and a key withheld, as other girls have given their love, I give my love to you. Not in a lover's knot, not in a ring worked in such fashion, and the legend flames, Tempus Fidelis, where a secret spring kennels a drop of mischief for the brain. Love in the open hand, no thing but that, ungemmed, unhidden, wishing not to hurt. As one should bring you cowslips in a hat swung from the hand, or apples in her skirt, I bring you, calling out as children do, look what I have, and these are all for you. Sonnet 38, from Fated Interview. You see, since life is cruel enough at this, you see, considering how our love is cursed, and how so bleakly that the seagull's nest were better shelter, even a better nurse between the breaker and the stingy reeds, ragged and coarse that hits against the sand. The gull's brown chick and hushed in all his needs than our poor love so harried through the land. You being too tender, even with all your scorn, to line his cradle with the world's reproof, and I, too devious, too surrendered, born too far from home to hunt him even a roof out of the rain. Oh, tortured voice, be still. Spare me your penny. Leave me when you will. Sleep forever in the Latmian cave. Mortal Endymion, darling of the moon. Her silver garments by the senseless wave shouldered and dropped, and on the shingles strewn. Her fluttering hand against her forehead set. Her scattered looks that trouble all the sky. Her rapid footsteps running down the west. of all her altered state, oblivious lies, whom earthen you by deathless lips adored, wild-eyed and stammering to the grasses thrust, and deep into her crystal body poured the hot and sorrowful sweetness of the dust, whereof she wandered mad, being all unfit for mortal love that might not die of it.
We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. It was bare and bright and smelled like a stable. But we looked into a fire. We leaned across the table. We lay on a hilltop underneath the moon. And the whistles kept blowing and the dawn came soon. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. And you ate an apple, and I ate a pear. From a dozen of each we had bought somewhere. And the sky went warm, and the wind came cold, and the sun rose dripping a bucket full of gold. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night under the ferry. We hailed, "Good morrow, mother," to a shawl-covered head, and bought a morning paper, which neither of us read. And she wept, "God bless you for the apples and pears." And we gave her all our money, but our subway fare.
The poem is called City Trees. The trees along the city street, save for the traffic and the train, would make a sound as thin and sweet as trees in country lanes. And people standing in their shade out of a shower undoubtedly would hear such music as is made upon a country tree. Oh, little leaves that are so dumb against the shrieking city air, I watch you when the wind has come. I know what sound is there. Elaine, oh, come again to Astolat. I will not ask you to be kind. And you may go, then you will go, and I will stay behind. I will not say how dear you are, or ask you if you hold me dear, or trouble you with things for you the way I did last year. So still the orchard Lancelot, so very still the lake shall be, you could not guess, though you should guess, what has become of me. So wide shall be the garden walk, the garden seat, so very wide, you need but think, if you should think, the lily maid had died. Think that a little way away, I'd watch you for a little while to see you see the way you see and smile, if you should smile.
This is Catherine Hastings. In celebration of Women's History Month, we're listening to five iconic American women poets. We've already heard Gertrude Stein, H.D., and we just heard Edna St. Vincent Millay. We're going to move on now to just two more poets. First is Louise Bogan, and she's going to read, a good number of poems before we move on to Muriel Rukeyser. You're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM.
Cassandra. To me, one silly task is like another. I bear the shambling tricks of lust and pride. This flesh will never give a child its mother. Song, like a wing, tears through my breast, my side, and madness chooses out my voice again, again. I am the chosen, no hand saves. The shrieking heaven lifted over men, not the dumb earth wherein they set their graves.
Women. Women have no wilderness in them. They are provident instead. Content in the tight, hot cell of their hearts to eat dusty bread. They do not see cattle cropping red winter grass. They do not hear snow water going down under culverts, shallow and clear. They wait when they should turn to journeys. They stiffen when they should bend. They use against themselves that benevolence to which no man is friend. They cannot think of so many crops to a field, or of clean wood cleft by an axe. Their love is an eager meaninglessness, too tense or too lax. They hear in every whisper that speaks to them a shout and a cry. As like as not, when they take life over their doorsills, they should let it go by. Man alone. It is yourself you seek in a long rage, scanning through light and darkness, mirrors the page. Where should reflected be those eyes and that thick hair, that passionate look, that laughter? You should appear within the book, or doubled, freed in the silvered glass. Into all other bodies, yourself should pass. The glass does not dissolve. Like walls, the mirrors stand. The printed page gives back words by another hand. And your infatuate eye meets not itself below. Strangers lie in your arms, as I lie now.
Louise Bogan, reading from her work.
The Alchemist. I burned my life that I might find a passion holy of the mind, thought divorced from eye and bone, ecstasy come to breath alone. I broke my life to seek relief from the flawed light of love and grief. With mounting beat, the utter fire charred existence and desire. It died low, ceased its sudden thresh. I had found unmysterious flesh, not the mind's avid substance, still passionate beyond the will.
To be sung on the water. Beautiful, my delight, pass as we pass the wave. Pass as the mottled night leaves what it cannot save, scattering dark and bright. Beautiful, pass and be less than the guiltless shade to which our vows were said, less than the sound of the oar to which our vows were made, less than the sound of its blade, dipping the stream once more. Cartography. As you lay in sleep, I saw the chart of artery and vein running from your heart, plain as the strength marked upon the leaf, along the length, mortal and brief, of your God hand. I saw it clear, the wiry brand of the life we bear, mapped like the great rivers that rise beyond our fate and distant from our eyes.
Medusa. I had come to the house in a cave of trees, facing a sheer sky. Everything moved, a bell hung ready to strike. Sun and reflection wheeled by. When the bare eyes were before me, and the hissing hair, held up at a window, seen through a door, the stiff, bald eyes, the serpents on the forehead, formed in the air. This is a dead scene forever now. Nothing will ever stir. The end will never brighten it more than this, nor the rain blur. The water will always fall, and will not fall, and the tipped bell make no sound. The grass will always be growing for hay deep on the ground. And I shall stand here like a shadow under the great balanced day, my eyes on the yellow dust that was lifting in the wind and does not drift away.
The meeting. For years, I thought I knew, at the bottom of the dream, who spoke but to say farewell, whose smile dissolved after his first words, gentle and plausible. Each time I found him, it was always the same, recognition and surprise, and then the silence after the first words, and the shifting of the eyes. Then the moment when he had nothing to say, and only smiled again, but this time toward a place beyond me, where I could not stay, no world of men. Now I am not sure. Who are you? Who have you been? Why do our paths cross? At the deepest bottom of the dream, you are let in, a symbol of loss. Eye to eye we look, and we greet each other like friends from the same land. Bitter compliance. Like a faithless brother, you take and drop my hand. Kept. Time for the wood, the clay, the trumpery dolls, the toys now to be put away. We are not girls and boys. What are these rags we twist our hearts upon, or clutch hard in the sweating fist? They are not worth so much. But we must keep such things till we at length begin to feel our nerves, their strings, their dust, our blood within. The dreadful painted bisque becomes our very cheek, a doll's heart faint at risk within our breast grows weak. Our hand, the doll's, our tongue, Time for the pretty clay. Time for the straw, the wood. The playthings of the young get broken in the play. Get broken as they should. The dream. O God, in the dream, the terrible horse began to paw at the air and make for me with his blows. Fear kept for 35 years poured through his mane, and retribution equally old or nearly breathed through his nose. Coward complete, I lay and wept on the ground when some strong creature appeared and leapt for the rein. Another woman, as I lay half in a swound, leapt in the air and clutched at the leather and chain. Give him, she said, something of yours as a charm. Throw him, she said, some poor thing you alone claim. No, no, I cried, he hates me, he's out for harm, and whether I yield or not, it is all the same. But, like a lion in a legend, when I flung the glove, pulled from my sweating, my cold right hand, the terrible beast, that no one may understand, came to my side and put down his head in love. Come, sleep. The bee's fixed hexagon, the ant's downward tower, the whale's effortless eating, the palm's love, the flower burnished like brass, clean like wax under the pollen, the rough grass blade upright, the smooth swathe fallen. Do the shadows of these forms and appetites repeat when these lives give over in sleep the role of the selfish devourer, the selfless lover? Surely, whispers in the glassy corridor never trouble their dream. Never for them the dark turreted house reflects itself in the depthless stream.
This is Catherine Hastings. You've been listening to Louise Bogan reading her own work, and we're going to move on now to the fifth of five American women poets that we're airing tonight as a celebration of Women's History Month. We're going to end with Muriel Rukeyser. She'll be reading four poems before we end tonight's program.
Islands. Oh, for God's sake, they are connected underneath. They look at each other across the glittering sea. Some keep a low profile. Some are cliffs. The bathers think islands are separate like them. The poem is Mask, Orpheus. When I wrote of the women in their dances and wildness, it was a mask. On their mountain, god-hunting, singing, in orgy, it was a mask. When I wrote of the god, fragmented, exiled from himself, his life, the love gone down with song, it was myself. Split open, unable to speak, in exile from myself. There is no mountain, there is no God, there is memory of my torn life, myself split open in sleep, the rescued child beside me among the doctors, and a word of rescue from the great eyes. No more masks. No more mythologies. Now, for the first time, the god lifts his hand, the fragments join in me with their own music. Looking at each other. Yes, we were looking at each other. Yes, we knew each other very well. Yes, we had made love with each other many times. Yes, we had heard music together. Yes, we had gone to the sea together. Yes, we had cooked and eaten together. Yes, we had laughed often, day and night. Yes, we fought violence and knew violence. Yes, we hated the inner and outer oppression. Yes, that day we were looking at each other. Yes, we saw the sunlight pouring down. Yes, the corner of the table was between us. Yes, bread and flowers were on the table. Yes, our eyes saw each other's eyes. Yes, our mouths saw each other's mouth. Yes, our breasts saw each other's breast. Yes, our bodies entire saw each other. Yes, it was beginning in each. Yes, it threw waves across our lives. Yes, the pulses were becoming very strong. Yes, the beating became very delicate. Yes, the calling, the arousal. Yes, the arriving, the coming. Yes, there it was for both entire. Yes, we were looking at each other. The speed of darkness. Whoever despises the clitoris despises the penis. Whoever despises the penis despises the cunt. Whoever despises the cunt despises the life of the child. Resurrection music, silence, and surf. No longer speaking, listening with the whole body and with every drop of blood overtaken by silence. But this same silence has become speech. With the speed of darkness. Stillness during war, the lake, the unmoving spruces, glints over the water, faces, voices. You are far away, a tree that trembles. I am the tree that trembles and trembles. After the lifting of the mist, after the lift of the heavy rains, the sky stands clear, and the cries of the city risen in day. I remember the buildings are space, walled, to let space be used for living. I mind this room is space, this drinking glass is space, whose boundary of glass lets me give you drink and space to drink. Your hand, my hand, being space, containing skies and constellations. Your face carries the reaches of air. I know I am space, my words are air. Between, the man, act, exact. Woman, in curve. Senses in their maze, frail orbits, green tries, games of stars, shape of the body speaking its evidence. I look across at the real, vulnerable, involved, naked, devoted to the present of all I care for, the world of its history leading to this moment. Life, the announcer. I assure you there are many ways to have a child. I, bastard mother, promise you there are many ways to be born. They all come forth in their own grace. Ends of the earth join tonight with blazing stars upon their meeting. these suns fall burning into Asia. Time comes into it. Say it. Say it. The universe is made of stories, not of atoms. Lying, blazing beside me, you rear beautifully and up, your thinking face, erotic body reaching in all its colors and lights, your erotic face colored and lit, not colored body and face, but now entire, colors, lights, the world thinking and reaching. The river flows past the city. Water goes down to tomorrow, making its children. I hear their unborn voices. I am working out the vocabulary of my silence. Big-boned man, young, and of my dream, struggles to get the live bird out of his throat. I am he, am I, dreaming? I am the bird, am I? I am the throat? A bird with a curved beak. It could slit anything, the throat bird. Drawn up slowly, the curved blades, not large. Bird emerges, wet, being born, begins to sing. My night awake, staring at the broad, rough jewel, the copper roof across the way, thinking of the poet yet unborn in this dark, who will be the throat of these hours. No, of those hours. Who will speak these days, if not I, if not you? Waiting for Icarus. He said he would be back and we'd drink wine together. He said that everything would be better than before. He said we were on the edge of a new relation. He said he would never again cringe before his father. He said that he was going to invent full time. He said he loved me, that going into me, he said, was going into the world and the sky. He said all the buckles were very firm. He said the wax was the best wax. He said, wait for me here on the beach. He said, just don't cry. I remember the gulls and the waves. I remember the islands going dark on the sea. I remember the girls laughing. I remember they said he only wanted to get away from me. I remember mother saying, inventors are like poets, a trashy lot. I remember she told me those who try out inventions are worse. I remember she added, women who love such are the worst of all. I have been waiting all day, or perhaps longer. I would have liked to try those wings myself. It would have been better than this.
The sixth night, waking. That first green night of their dreaming, asleep beneath the tree, God said, let meanings move, and there was poetry.
Poem. I lived in the first century of world wars. Most mornings I would be more or less insane. The newspapers would arrive with their careless stories. The news would pour out of various devices, interrupted by the attempts to sell products to the unseen. I would call my friends on other devices. They would be more or less mad for similar reasons. Slowly, I would get to pen and paper, make my poems for others, unseen and unborn. In the day, I would be reminded of those men and women, brave, setting up signals across vast distances, considering a nameless way of living of almost unimagined values. As the lights darkened, as the lights of night brightened, we would try to imagine them, try to find each other, to construct peace, to make love, to reconcile waking with sleeping, ourselves with each other, ourselves with ourselves. We would try by any means to reach the limits of ourselves, to reach beyond ourselves, to let go the means, to wake. I lived in the first century of these wars.
In your time, there have been those who spoke clearly for the moment of lightning. Were we all brave, but at different times? Even raped open and split, even anonymous, they spoke. They are not forgotten, but they are, in late summer, forgot, caught at cross purposes, interrupted in an hour of purity, their lives careening along in the fierce cities, through atrocious poverties and magnificence, the unforgotten, the early gone forgot. Late daytime, and nothing left to hide but an eye endowed with the charred, guilty, gouged by war, the raging splendor, despised like you, criminal in intent, sunburnt, in love, and splendid. This heart, naked and knocking, going in clouds, smoke, and a cry of light, in pain, the voice of pain, the shadow of your cry. And never forget, you are magnificent beyond all colors.
And that concludes this segment of Five American Women Reading Their Own Work. This was in celebration of Women's History Month, and the poets you heard included Gertrude Stein, H.D., Edna St. Vincent Millay, Louise Bogan, and Muriel Rukeyser. If you have any questions about these poets or their work, what they read today, please feel free to pop me an email and I'll get back to you. We're going to conclude the program with Poet's Heart, sung by the late, beautiful Kate Wolfe. I hope you enjoyed tonight's program. If you have any questions or comments at all, please contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Thanks for listening.
I wrote to you somewhere in South Australia, a poet's heart in the eye of a hurricane. I struggle with finding words to sing these days, I said, as if my thoughts are waiting in the wings for the stage to clear. And you in your elegance and humor filled the room, your love and your concern, your anger at the injustice of man's narrowness and fear. I thank you for being here. You wrote of love from the coast of Mendocino, a poet's heart crying a fighter's tear. The children of your body spread out across this earth like messages written across time.